Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Pursuit of Perfectness, starring your host. He's over there. You know him, Dennis Pacheco.
Oh, me? Hello. And say over hello. There, across the room, that's Alan Matthews. Say hi, Alan.
Hi, everyone. It's so great to be with you here today. And I think we have a really great episode lined up.
Yeah, this is one for the books. We've got our guest cooling her heels in the green room, our lavish green room, of course. I hope she's taking advantage of all of the hors d'oeuvres, the aperitifs, the amuse-bouche-shes.
We treat our guests well here at POP.
Mm-hmm. You had to look that up?
What are the letters of our podcast name? Yeah. POP. I'm trying to make it a thing.
Yeah, dude. Pop Pod. This is the podcast where we talk about perfectionism and how it holds us back and how we can power through it and why we're like this. And we try to answer all those questions. We have no qualifications to give you advice, but I think we are going to probably do that anyway. Just don't listen. All right. I'm unlocking the guest green room.
Unlocking! We've locked her!
Yeah, I'm okay, hang on. Okay, no, we both need to turn the key, of course. You on that side, me on that side, and 3, 2, 1.
2, 1.
Yeah, we turn the
unlock.
Key.
Unlock.
Great, and fantastic. Retinal scan. Okay. And we're open. Oh, man, so much smoke. Welcome, ooh. Abby Russell. Abby Russell,
Abby
welcome.
Russell!
Hello!
Welcome.
Thank you for freeing me from my prison. I mean, your green room.
It's our pleasure.
It's lovely in there.
How to introduce you, and then we didn't do it.
I know.
Well, I was going to do that smoothly. I was going to say,
forgot.
Listeners,
I shat completely
for those
all over
who may not
room.
Know, Abby Russell is a content producer in the video game industry. She is a Twitch streamer, a Twitter personality, host of the hit internet TV show, Abby Dearest, an improviser extraordinaire. And Dennis and I have had the honor of improvising with Abby at Magnet Theater.
That's right.
I so noticed we can that attest. In my list of titles, you didn't say friend of Ellen and Dennis, but...
Oh, no.
Good to know.
It's implied.
Friend, it's, of course. Of course.
Let the record show that Abby is a good friend of both of ours.
Yeah. It's true. I've known both of you for a long time.
That's true.
How long has it been?
I don't know. I've known Dennis longer than I've known you, Ellen, I think.
Yes. Oh, I think you and me,
but we were on a team, Ellen. So she we wolf. Were on a team. We saw each other at least twice a week for... years.
Many years.
Forced interactions.
That's right. And that's how you make friends.
I agree.
Forced interactions.
Look, we still talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're talking right now.
It's true. We're talking right
true.
Now. At a scheduled time.
Yeah.
Where we're recording.
Actually, Abby, I forgot about that until you just said it. That, yeah, like I first knew you as a house manager at the Magnet Theater.
Yeah.
As
that was when I was
strict
in college.
House manager.
Yes.
You know,
oh
people love
God.
To talk about how strict I was. Maybe y'all were just wild. I was keeping you in line.
Yeah.
I was maybe a little too much of a hard ass, I'll admit. But also, like, being a house manager is saying no.
It's hard. It's a hard job.
It is.
People don't
it's,
like it. People don't want to hear it, especially at, like, a comedy theater where everyone feels entitled to everything. It's a
yes.
lot of saying no in order to keep everybody else safe. And mm-hmm. I'd like to think that I was hard where it mattered, but I had fun.
Yeah, it's a thankless job.
It was
true. Were you ever
job.
An intern, Ellen? Why did I think you were an intern?
I was never an intern.
Okay,
I was
no.
an intern.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But before, I think I was
but
an intern
I don't
before
think
your time.
Me, yeah. Yeah. I'd like to think my interns liked me. A few definitely didn't. But a lot of them did.
Oh, you should say their names right now.
I'm going to be real. I had a lot of interns. I remember very few of their names. Sorry to those interns listening now. Be like, no.
Aw. Well,
it's
they had,
well, yeah.
They got,
I mean, it's you know, it's hard when you have to be like the
yeah.
the person to you know put down the rules and things
it's
like
true.
That. I'm sure you were great.
So you was that like you came from Boston and then immediately started at the Magnet? Is that what happened? Because you were
yeah,
at
pretty much.
Boston?
Yeah. So yeah, I started Improv Boston doing comedy, and then I was also like an office intern. So I did like office stuff and worked with their house or not house manager. They were like artistic. director, I guess, or managing director. I'm not sure. And then I also worked as a house manager and a tech for Improv Boston. So when I came to New York, I was like, well, I got to get started at the Improv Theater to make friends. So almost immediately, I like took like a free intro class at the Magnet with Rick, whose last name, I guess I just forgot.
Andrews.
I was going to say Anderson, but I'm like, that's not right. I can't believe I just forgot his last name. Anyway, I took it with Rick because he started Improv Boston. So I was like, hey, I would like to work here. Are there job openings? And he gave me like an application to sign up as an intern. And then it took like probably like 6 months to ever get any kind of email that was like, we need interns. And then immediately, like my first day interning, I was like, I would like to house manage. And they were hiring. So I had like a month of interning, and then I was a house manager where people at first hated me, but then I won them over, I'd like to think.
You won everyone over, Abby.
Yeah. Well, wow, I just want to say, I never hated you.
Okay. But
neither did I.
But I did dislike you. No. No, but.
No, it's fine. I also like don't care if people hated me because I told them no to their weird request as a house manager. You know, it is what it is. Again, I was like 20.
Yeah.
Also, Abby, that is, I mean, that's something perfection-wise that I need because I care so much if people like me.
Yeah.
And I would love to like be like, no, like that, like, that's on them if they don't, if they have a problem with this, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
I need to absorb some of that energy.
I think sometimes when I'm like worried if someone likes me, I have to try to think like what I want out of the relationship and also why they dislike me. Like if someone dislikes me because I've like offended or hurt them, I'm usually like, oh my God. And then I feel terrible for like ever. True. But if someone just dislikes me and then I'm like, well, I don't want to be friends with them anyway. Who cares?
Then what does it matter?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, we talked about this with the previous guest a little bit. It's just like that need to be liked.
People pleasing.
Yeah. But let's go ahead and get into it. The name of the podcast is The Pursuit of Perfectness, which I just found out kind of rubs my co-host the wrong way.
The name?
POP, that's right. No, I was telling Dennis before we started recording that it's actually the perfect name because it irks me. Like, I see it and I'm like, it should be The Pursuit of Perfection. It should be The Pursuit of Perfection. But we picked perfectness because it sounds just a little bit off. And so the fact that it bothers me is what makes it so perfect. So we're keeping it.
Yeah.
It does its job, but it definitely like makes my eye twitch when I look at it.
Yeah. It's just a little bit off. But that's just leading me into my first question, which is, so this is the part where I'll be honest, like I don't know a lot about video games, but I do know a little about improv. So, and the thing about improv is, you know, you can't, it's made up on the spot, so it's never going to be perfect. But I want to hear your take on perfectionism with regards to performing.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, I would agree. Like, I think that's the beauty of improv is you can't be perfect. Like, you can try for perfection, but you have to sort of, like, roll with the flow kind of no matter what, especially if you want to be successful. But I know for me, I feel like early on in my improv career, I was so serious about the whole thing, which I think is fine. And I think it, like, just sort of led to me having a pretty good work ethic. And I, like, really wanted to succeed early on. Which I think overall was fine, but I also think like things unlocked more for me when I cared less about being good on stage. Like I feel like I really got good. Like because I basically went through all the levels in Improv Boston and then left right before I was really like done with them to audition. So then I had to start over. Cause for those who don't do improv, like us nerds, you have to take all of the classes at like a theater before you can really audition at most places, at least, or that's how it was in New York, especially. So I had to like retake all of these like full curriculums and going into improv at Improv Boston, I was very like, okay, I'm going to take a class and I'm going to both like min max making friends with people. Cause at the time I was like in a relationship with someone that, and I was like, I knew it was ending and all of our friend group was like the same. So I was like, I need to make sure I have some fucking backup friends ready. That's part of why, and I like had just dropped out of college and was like in a very like turning point change in my life where I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what am I, like, what's going on? I was like 19. So I like signed up for an improv class the night before it started, Improv Boston. But I was very serious about like, I want to do well. I want to have good scenes. And then also I was like, okay, I'm going to the show. I'm going to email my classmates. And like, I'm going to make sure everybody signs up for the same class, like going forward, which overall I think was like good, healthy habits to do.
Yeah.
But I also think like when I got to go through another improv program sort of the second time around, like I was focused a little bit on making friends, but a lot of it, what I was focused on was just sort of getting it done to audition. So it kind of made it so I was, you know, taking like beginner improv once you've gone through it once, I think makes you so much better because you're just focused on like making the other person look good. So I think where before my kind of perfectionism, I guess if you want to call it, was like, oh, I want to do a really good job and I want to like really learn improv and like figure out game and like figure out the form and like really nail it. And then second time around, I was like, okay, well, like, what do you need as a new performer? And like, I am just kind of going to listen and be, I think, a little more present, you know, because I think if you're striving for perfection, it's a little harder to be present with what you're doing. And you need to have that like living in the moment, responding in the moment kind of for improv to be like really successful, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah. I love that. I love the idea of like stepping into a scene and the only thing you're focused on is making your scene partner look good. Like what a dream partner, right? Like we should all be more like that.
I mean, I say that, you know, I still want to have fun and like do a good job, but I think
I mean, you want to look good, right?
Yeah, exactly. But I also think, like, especially in, like, a class environment, like, the stakes are so low. And I think going through it the first time around, I'm like, these are the highest stakes of my life. Every class matters, you know? And nowadays, I'm more like, okay, I'm here to have fun. Maybe I'll meet people. A lot of the time, this is, like, maybe terrible and, like, a little cynical. I'm just like, I'm here to get it done so I can audition or do whatever else.
Right.
You know? Which I think just sort of makes
it. You're not here to make friends.
Exactly. Like, I'm open to it, but I probably am not going to join your practice group anymore. You know what I mean?
Abby always starts off with a glass of wine and turning like the housewives. And she says, hi, I'm not here to make friends.
But I'm no open way. To it. Like,
I'm open to it. Yeah. But I don't know. Does that make sense? I don't know if that really plays into y'all's ideas of perfectionism, but.
Yeah.
It absolutely does.
That idea that you have to be great and you have to, like, everything is so high stakes.
Right.
That's the thing. It's like everything feels very high stakes. Like, you know, and what does that mean? Like, why are we so nervous the first time we go through those first few improv classes? Like, what's the worst that could happen? Is it, you know, we're going to look like a fool and everybody's going to think we're bad at improv and bad and not funny? That's it. That's what it is. It's very scary.
No, for high stakes. Yeah, but it's also like, I know for me, when I first started, especially before I was like performing regularly, like I would have a class show. And when you're like first doing improv, you basically have like class shows and like maybe a jam or a mixer, which is where like anybody can kind of get up and like do a little bit of improv briefly. So like when that's all you're doing, when it goes wrong, it is like, I have never felt lower. It's like, oh my God, my life, this is so embarrassing. This is so terrible, whatever. But at the same time, like when it goes right, like those early first, like really fun shows, I was like riding a high for like weeks.
Yeah.
But then after you do it a billion times, it would be a thing where it'd be like, oh my God, great show. Let's go to the bar. And like, maybe it's a little more fun at the bar, but for most part, it's just like, good show. See you later. And similarly, it's just like, man, not our best show. See you later. And it's fine. It's just like, it sort of all becomes more muted, I think, kind of for better and for worse.
Yeah.
That's so true. The highs are lower, but the lows are also not as bad. Yeah,
it's
just
like, it's also, I think, I got better at improv, so when I would have shows that would bomb, it would just be like, well, this is less good than normal. I mean, Ellen, we were on a team. I think you would agree. Like, I feel like everyone was really, had been doing improv for so long, it was all very good, that, like, our not great shows were still good, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So I think that makes total sense for, like, understanding like, hey, the stakes are low. It's a class. I can kind of, you know, bring my nervous system down. How do you manage like when it's an audition and you feel like the stakes are higher?
I mean, that's a good question. I think it depends because I feel like I don't know. I just try to go into an audition and like have fun. I know that that's what makes me feel better is like going, because usually before you audition is like you're with the other people who are auditioning. There's like this weird nervous energy a lot of the time that I really don't like. So I'm just like, let's just do something fun and silly. But anyway, this is all to say, I think for auditions, I think there is always like a level of nerves kind of no matter what. Mm-hmm. I think for me, what also helps is to sometimes like put shit into perspective. Like I know I try to remember with improv, is like improv is such a weird thing where like the stakes are so high for the people involved and nobody gives a shit. Like if you step outside those doors, like no one gives a shit at all. You know what I mean?
That's so funny.
I know. So I try to remember that like we have this hierarchy, but at the end of the day, like it doesn't fucking matter. Right.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm a good improviser. And like, I think also like having confidence in my own improvising like helps a lot. Mm. You know, I will say when I first, like I felt pretty good about my audition to get on my first Megawatt team. I felt good about both my audition and the callback. And I felt like after doing like multiple full courses of improv, I just felt ready for the audition. But then once I got on Megawatt, Megawatt was like, I don't know how familiar the POP listeners are. It was like the name of like the improv house teams at the Magnet Theater, which is where we all performed. Yes. But when I first got on my team, I was like nervous and in my head for like the first month of shows at least. So I think it's also just like you kind of reach a milestone and then you still have to like figure it out and relearn it and whatever. But anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say, I feel like this has become very rambly, but what I'm saying was
I love it. I love every second.
Yeah. With like auditions, I think for me, it helps put it into perspective. Like I remember once I auditioned. So like UCB started doing this thing where they were like, okay, there are like the pro classes that you have to like get approval from the teacher to get into. You take like four levels and then like to get to the next level, you need like approval from the teacher to get in.
It's like those advanced study.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like advanced study or whatever. But then they were like, we want another tier that you have to audition to get into. And I remember everyone in the room for that audition was so nervous to the point where I wanted to shake people and be like, you are auditioning for the opportunity to pay to take more classes. Like, this is a scam. Like, don't be nervous. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was like, I think having that perspective really helped a lot. Wow. I mean, also think.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go.
That's the thing. I was just going to say, that's the thing with every single milestone in improv. Yes. It's like you're auditioning and you're nervous for something that you are paying money to do.
Absolutely.
Like even getting on a house team, you're paying a coach.
Yes.
You're not getting paid by the
rental
theater.
Space. No. Yeah, I mean, maybe in some areas, but yes. And like, I love improv dearly. I am happy to pay. I have also been fortunate enough to like intern. I've paid for very few classes in my improv career, which is like thinking back, I'm like, that's kind of incredible. Nice. But I also, I think it's so important to just have some perspective on, like, what you're doing. Like, it's not going to be the end of the world. It'll be fine. Worst case scenario, you audition again in, like, another 6 months or whatever. You know what I mean? And feel bad for a few days. I also think it's okay to, like, let yourself feel bad. But I know for me personally, too.
I like that.
Yeah, let's reflect on that. Yeah.
I just think, like, people, like, want to get over shit. And I think it's like, hey, you tried for this. You really wanted it. Like, you can feel like shit for a couple weeks. That's okay. You know? Right. Like, I think it's important to go through it.
So profound.
Yeah, we both. It really is. We both, like, really, like latched onto that.
Wait, I can be upset about things? I can just feel my feelings?
Sometimes
and allow myself to be sad and disappointed about something that, like, was meaningful to me?
Yeah.
And I think that that goes back to our perfectionism, which is, like, not only do I have to be perfect at this thing I'm doing, I also have to be perfect in the way I respond to it.
Right. And I think with improv, you know? Especially, because there's such a huge social aspect to it. And, like, for those who don't do improv, like, after an audition or after, like, you hear back who got into, like, advanced study or whatever, there is always that weird, awkward period where everyone is, like, asking but not asking, like, did you get a call back? Like, are you in this class? Mm. That's, like, awkward and weird. And it sucks. And it's humiliating to be, like, no, I didn't get a call back. And have people be like, you know, it sucks.
Yeah.
It does. You know, there's no way around it. And I think it's okay to feel that suck. And I think it's also okay, because I think when there is that social aspect, there is the urge to want to be like, whatever, not a big deal, didn't care that much. Or like, I'm spirited about it. Happy for you. And I think it's possible to be happy for your friends and upset for yourself. Yes. You know,
100%.
I also, I personally don't necessarily think it's like you're a bad friend if you vent to a different friend about how you're upset. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's totally fine to be like, oh, I can't believe whatever. Like, I think you can still be supportive even if you're upset and maybe even like a little bit bitter, you know, because I think you kind of have to go through that sometimes to like make peace with it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I feel like you hear about that so much in comedy because there's so few spots.
Right.
And it's such a social thing.
And the really interesting thing about like being an improviser and doing sketch comedy and things like that is like compared to other like jobs, like you can be not paid. Nobody knows you. You're paying to do it. And your friend who's also going through the same thing, now they're famous. They're on a TV show. They're now famous.
Yes.
And it's just like the levels are astronaut. The difference is just between the levels of where you know what I mean? Like if you work if you work at a, you know, I don't know, like office job, then, which I famously don't. definitely am not employed.
Inside joke.
I'm sorry. But anyway, like if you work in an office job, you know, there's a ceiling, but like there's a ceiling in comedy too, but you could be a movie star. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You can be world famous or you could be like, maybe this isn't the right word, but like nothing. Nobody.
No, for sure. That's like totally true. And I think the longer you do comedy, the more people you know who have like quote unquote like made it or are like actively working just in comedy. And I think that can be like a weird thing where the urge is to like compare yourself to it, right? Which I think is sometimes helpful, but I think, I don't know. I also know for me, with my career, I have to like look back at where I've come from, which I know is like boring and cliche, but I do think it is so easy for like when you reach that goal, the goalpost immediately moves to the next thing. And you don't really realize that like, look at all the shit that you accomplished, you know? Anyway, I think just going back to the bitterness thing, I think if you let your bitterness over like your friends or whoever is more successful, like then it's bad. But if you just are like, I'm a little upset about this and then use it to motivate yourself to like get over it and do better, I think that's great. I also know like people typically who are like happy for their friends in a sincere way are more likely to get like pulled up with their friends. You know what I mean? Like people want to work with their friends, especially the people who are like supportive and cool and not going to be weird if you're like, I can't cast you in my like movie or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I think. I immediately thought of Oprah and Gail and like, I feel like I've seen
started in improv.
Oprah's a Chicago girl, right?
Yeah.
I just feel like I hear like Oprah.
TJ
listen,
and Dave and
Gail.
Oprah.
Gail is also very successful, but next to Oprah, I mean, next to Oprah, we're all nothing, right? And Oprah has said famously that like she has never even felt a hint of envy from Gail. And like you could see that. You could see that in their friendship. And anyway, shout out to our listeners, Oprah and Gail.
They're big fans.
It's a very healthy attitude that you know, we should all try to feel good and happy for our friends who are successful. Can we, I want to roll into like, this is great. I want to roll into just slightly related thing, which is I watched Abby Dearest. I watched the first episode of your hit internet TV show, Abby Dearest.
I appreciate everyone calling it an internet TV show. I will say it is a YouTube web series, but yes, it is an internet TV show.
Yeah, it's an internet TV show. I watched it. I thought it was fucking so funny. It really made me laugh so hard. And it was brilliantly produced. Looked great. I was like, why doesn't this have a billion views?
Thank you so much.
I wanted to talk to you about this because, what's that?
I said, I agree. It should have a billion views.
All right. Well, maybe you'll get that POP bump. you know?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, just wait. Yeah. Just wait but, until this episode drops.
But, you know, I've made a couple of comedy online videos, and there's so much work. There's so much work.
Yes, they and, are.
And you really have to overcome perfectionism. I'm talking specifically about myself to be like, I need to just get this done.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, yeah, can you talk about that? How you get things done.
I will say, I don't know if you guys are like me. This whole web series started, I saw Bjork live. And it was, I saw her on our Cornucopia tour for the Bjork heads out there. And she was incredible. And it was like such a beautiful tour or such a beautiful concert. It was like before she was touring as at the Shed. But anyway, it was like beautiful and like so fully realized. And like she worked with so many really talented people to like get it done and like pulled the best of like all of these different sort of creative fields to make this amazing show. And after I left, I was like, why aren't I doing that? Like, why aren't I making stuff? And I know that sometimes I need that kick in the pants to be like, I just need to fucking do it. Like, you're never going to be ready for it, quote unquote, ready for it. Like, you're never, there's never going to be like the right time. You just have to like sit down, shut up and do it. And I like for the first episode, I feel like I wrote it for a few months and like came up with the concept and the idea and like figured out props or whatever. And then I gave myself really strict deadlines. So I know for me, deadlines. I have to have a deadline or nothing's going to get done ever. Like whenever I like have to deliver a product to someone and they're like, yeah, no deadline, whatever. I'm like, no,
no,
give me a fucking deadline. Like I need a deadline.
Yeah.
So how I did it was I put out one episode a month for 5 months. The intent was to have 6 episodes, and then the holidays hit, which I did a lot of work traveling at the time for, and I was like, I'll do it when I get back. And then I was like, well, you know, once springtime comes around, and then COVID happened, and then I never did it, which is fine. But anyway, but having that one episode a month, and I kind of had to stick to it because part of the premise of the web series is I was someone who gave advice, and that advice came from people in my comment section on the YouTube videos. So I had to upload one to make the other, if that makes sense. Which is why I had the monthly schedule, because it would have been smarter and probably better production value and better writing and everything if I did it like shoot all of them, then put them up when I put them up, and there'd be less of a time crunch. But because there was a time crunch, it forced me to kind of keep it as is. And, like, make the best of what I had. So I would write an episode. I would, like, cast, produce, get props, whatever for the episode. I would shoot the episode. And then I would edit the episode. All in 1 month. Which, honestly, looking back, I don't know how I did it. I had a full-time job. Yeah. I was, like, performing multiple days a week. I don't know how I did it.
Yeah.
It was so much work. It was so much money, too. But I'm, like, so proud of it. And I'm happy for how it worked. But I still see the flaws in it. And I still see the parts where, like, if I had more time or if I had more money or, like, more people and more resources, I would have done things differently. But at the end of the day, you have to do things how you do them. And I think that doing that web series did afford me some, like, definitely some opportunities. And I think it was also just amazing to, like, I think I learned so much from doing it that I still feel like I got so much out of it. Because I, like, learned so much. Also, doing improv, I mean, y'all, I think, know this. It's very impermanent, which is something I love about it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, you go on stage, you do a show, you will never do that show again. You will never do any individual scenes again. Like, every aspect of it is done forever. Yeah. Yeah. And, like, occasionally it'll get recorded for, like, festivals and stuff. But, like, nobody wants to watch recorded improv. It's not very good. Yes. Like, it you have works. To see it live. It doesn't it work. Works. Yes. And, like, why would you anyway, right? Which is fine. But, like, it was nice having a concrete thing that's like, here's what I made. It's on paper. Mm-hmm. I can, like, put it on a resume even. And it was just, like, a really awesome creative exercise. And I would really like to do something else again eventually. But I'm so, so proud of myself for doing that and so happy I did it. I don't know. Well, I feel like I moved away from perfectionism a little bit on that one. But
No.
I wrote down, sit down, shut up and do it, which might be the title of this episode.
Wow.
I mean, it could be.
Right? Don't get your hopes up. We're not promising anything.
Abby, I also want to talk about something that I watched of yours, which was I watched your Twitch channel, and you had, this was just, I just watched the first thing on there, which I don't know when you recorded it, but
so my Twitch, I think you probably watched, because I think it was a recent video, but my Twitch channels are live videos. I mean, maybe you watch a VOD, but anyway, carry on.
I watched you playing The Sims, and you this was so cute, Abby. You were moving your Sims family from one house to another, and you, I didn't realize you had to do this, but you have to actually like pack up all your things.
You don't have to, but I only wanted to pack some of them. It's, you know, a whole to do, but yeah.
Okay.
Because either you have to pack some of it or all of it, and I, or like sell all of it or pack all of it. And I was like, well, I just want to pack individual things. So I did have to actually pack stuff up, but yes.
Very realistic. It's true. It's a game of life, right?
Exactly.
So Abby moved her Sim family into a haunted house. And then there was a baby count, and I think you have this running goal of like creating new Sim babies.
Yes. So you watched me play the Sims 100 Baby Challenge for the Sims head out there, all the Sims heads. You probably know what this is. But what it is the Sims, it's a game that's been around forever, so people keep making their own challenges for it. And a challenge they made is to have 100 babies, basically in like the as quickly as you can, with like one Sim is the parent. So the Sim I chose is Remy the rat from Ratatouille. So he's the one, he like is pregnant with the babies, he has the babies.
You could be making half of this stuff up, honestly.
It's all real. I can confirm.
I saw this
for you. Yes, okay. And there are like certain rules about like when you can age a child up and how you can get them out of the household, and like there are also rules about like you can only have a kid with a parent once. So like the moment Remy is pregnant with another Sim, they're done. They're dead to us. Never again can we have a kid with that Sim. So we've had, Remy's been with a lot. We've bred like 58 babies.
Rats can have a lot of babies, though.
Yeah, and Remy is proof of that. So anyway, yeah, that's like an ongoing challenge on my Twitch that I really enjoy. I think it's very fun. I think that challenge, and also just Twitch streaming in general, I think it's impossible to be like, quote unquote, perfect, just because there's always production hiccups. And I know for me personally, with where I'm at with my Twitch, I think having like a perfectly polished, super professional Twitch stream is great, but I am also okay if it's like, oh, my sound's being funny today, and like I am okay opening up that side of like the Twitch whatever to the audience.
The third wall.
Exactly. I'm opening up the fourth wall. Exactly. I'm opening up the fourth wall to my audience to be like, oh, okay, you know, things aren't working, or like, here's what's going on. And it's okay. And I think people are understanding. Yeah. And I think it makes it like a more authentic experience because it's totally not perfect. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yes.
And I know working in content production for like a larger video game entertainment website, there was a lot of that where it's like things aren't going right, and it was okay that like the audience knew about it. And I think it has really made me notice when like things are going wrong on like huge productions, right? And like how I think it just shows sort of the human hand in things in kind of a fun way. Like, this is not the best example, but I remember like, well, there's like a couple things. I remember one, HBO sent out like an email that was like not supposed to be sent out to everybody. It was like an intern sent an email to everyone.
I remember.
So like seeing shit like that happen, I'm like, cool, it's a person doing this, this is bound to happen. Or like, I don't know why I'm only thinking of HBO, but the HBO Max app, I remember there was like a couple of times when like John Oliver would like upload late, and I'd see people on Twitter being like, what's going on? Where's John Oliver? Whatever. But I'm like, I know that there's like human hand involved in this. And like, they probably have it scheduled. Something went wrong technically. They're working on it. But like, having worked in production, I am always kind of fascinated and really enjoy seeing things go wrong. Like, I know it's stressful for the people involved, so I don't enjoy that aspect of it, but I enjoy knowing like a human is touching this. Nobody is perfect, even on like the most professional, biggest budget things imaginable. Like, you will always see something go wrong eventually, which I think is just fascinating. I just love it.
Yeah.
We all need to remember that. Like, something, no, because something will go wrong. Like, I've planned a number of events before, and I'm like, okay, get ready. Like, two or three things will disappoint you.
Yeah.
And you just have to, like, be ready for that, because, like, I've never planned an event that went 100%.
And it really helps to, like, just have that talk with yourself beforehand to be like, things will go, like, a certain number of things are going to go wrong. And when they go wrong, we'll deal with them.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. You know, you can't plan for every eventuality, but
Abby, I also wanted to ask you, because you have like quite a large following. And I wonder, like, does that affect kind of your mentality about things? Like, do you find yourself like choosing between like, what do I think my audience will like versus what I will like? Oh, or do you kind of struggle with that a bit?
You're like asking about like cancel culture. I know it's not what you're asking, but it feels like I'm like, oh no.
No, not cancel culture, just like in terms of, I guess, like style or, I think, you know.
I think what you're asking is more like when you're on
like the actual content creation.
When you're on stage and you're like, right. I think they think this is going to be funny. But I I'm going to do this because I think it's funny. You know what I mean? It's like
I think the
balance, right?
I want to always be conscious because like streaming to Twitch is very like I'm having a lot of my job, like my career outside of like the technical aspect of things, like the on-camera aspect is a lot of like having entertaining conversations with people, right? And I still want to be conscious that like, yes, I'm having a conversation. I am being myself. But they're both kind of heightened versions of both. And I think for me, I always want to be conscious that I'm like playing to an audience and I'm here to entertain. I'm not just here to like be lazy and like chat with a friend and do whatever. But I also, you know, when I'm thinking of the content I want to make and like the things I want to post or even the things I want to talk about, I do try to think about like the goals of what I want from it, whether it's like I just want to entertain or if it's like I want to talk about like a specific thing about like representation or, you know, a critique of this game or whatever. But for the most part, I try not to, I guess, pander, for lack of a better word, to the audience. I want to do what I like, what I find exciting, what I find entertaining and funny. And I'm just going to assume that there are other people out there who feel the same way. And that I would like to think, at least for my own content, I'm the arbiter of taste, right? And like, I trust my own taste. Right. I think I use that word, right? That phrase. But
nailed it.
Great. Oh, thank God. But I think like, also, having an audience has really taught me that no matter what you do, no matter who you are, there will always be people who fucking hate your guts, who fucking hate you. They wish you were dead. They wish you would never show up on their timeline again. They follow you for whatever reason, but they fucking hate you, right? And like, I can't worry about them, right? Yeah. I can't worry about, you know, every critique from every person. I have to just do the thing I want to do. And like, obviously I try to be conscientious of like, I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want to offend anyone.
Yes.
But also at the end of the day, I have to do what I want to do. And I know that probably, you know, not everyone's going to like it for whatever reason. And that's okay. It's not for them. I am very at peace with the fact that not everything's for me and that not everything I do is for everyone else. I wish people online were maybe a little more conscientious of that and just stopped seeking out things that simply weren't for them. I also try to have the perspective that it is kind of an amazing privilege to have people who, like hate you and like are weirdly like obsessed with your shit in a way that's like, you can move on and with your life.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, you're still fucking thinking about me, dude. You know what I mean?
No, so, that's good point.
Yeah. So I'm like, it's fine, so you know, but I just want to have fun. So that's sort of what I aim for is I try to have fun. I try to bring on fun people. I try to use my platform, for lack of a better phrase, like I try to use my platform for good where I can, whether it's like a charity stream or like, you know, lending my audience to maybe an underrepresented voice or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, I just want to have fun and make fun content, as best as I can. And then that's a success for me, you know? But also I've had days where I'm like, I feel like shit. And then I go into a stream and just have to like put on a brave face and be like, I'm getting through it. And like, I don't think the audience does a lot of the time, but it's just like, you just have to like kind of bite the bullet. And like, it's weird having fun on camera when like not every day of your life is fun, you know?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, your job is to pretend you're having fun.
Right. And I think I'm, you know.
Even though like 99% of the time you are having fun.
Yes, right? Absolutely. And sometimes it's just like I'm just having a day, you know, neither good nor bad. But I think also part of being a professional is like, you know, just being like, hey, just got to get through it. Fake it till you make it. We're going to have fun here. And like, if it may not be the best stream I've ever done, but it'll be fine, you know. I do think about, did you guys watch, I know we have to wrap up here soon, so I don't want to make this go too long, but did you watch there's like a Katy Perry documentary. Have y'all seen it?
No.
I think I've seen clips of it.
I know exactly what you're talking about when she's going up to stage.
So, like, the whole premise of the documentary. So, the whole thing feels like Katy Perry propaganda. I don't really care about Katy Perry at all, but I find, like, documentaries about celebrity and just, like, documentaries like that very fascinating. So, the whole documentary is just, like, you know, Adele being like, oh, she can write a hit tune, you know? And, like, it's a lot of, like, just, like, talking heads and being like, Katy Perry's amazing.
Perfect Adele.
But it's like, it's a lot of that, but there is like the climax of the movie is, this is when Katy Perry is like going through a divorce with Russell Brand or whatever the hell his name is, and like that's kind of like not really fully, like, this is like the climax is like the reveal of this, right? And you see her like crying backstage before like a huge show. She is like unconsolably sobbing, and like her team is like sort of helping. It's, I don't know. Basically, long story short, she is like sobbing. A few minutes later, she's like, well, I guess I gotta do the show, and like kind of puts makeup on her face and then like is like crying and then smiles and then like goes up on stage for like, you know, 15,000 people or whatever. But I remember the documentary really, I feel like, tried to portray it as like, look at her, she's so strong, this and that. And I'm like, that's not strength, that's like obligation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think, I don't know where I was going with this, really, how it has to do with perfection, but I do think sometimes, like, you have a shitty day, and it's like, well, I just have to do my job, you know? And I think sometimes if your job is to, like, entertain people or to have the facade of, like, you know, excitement, like, you just do it. You get through it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is...
Yeah.
That is... folks, take that with you. Put that in your pocket. Carry that around.
Sometimes I guess you, I don't know the point of that. I just
No, I think that's really, so really great.
Bizarre.
Sometimes you just have to, you have obligations and you have to, you can't just be like, oh, I don't feel like it today. It's like people are depending on you or.
I feel that too about like, just like, you know, going into an office job sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like you can have a shitty day, and if famously, Dennis wouldn't know. But if someone's like, you know, how you doing? You're at work. You're not going to be like, I'm having a day. Yeah. Like, you know, you just
sit
like,
down for this one.
You're just like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. I'm like, just saying hi. You know.
No, yeah, I also think like,
as a professional, you can't take out your bad day on other people. You know what I mean? Like, you can't make everyone else's job harder.
As like a fucking functioning member of a society.
Yeah.
You know, just don't take it out on other people.
I mean, there's one thing to like be like, yeah, I need to take a day off for like my own mental health. But like, I hate when somebody is like actively being a jerk, and then someone will be like, they had a rough day, and I'm like, I don't care.
I know, there's like no excuse.
I have rough days.
Yes,
I have rough days. There is never an excuse to be an asshole to somebody. Like, you don't get a pass to be mean.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Or like cranky or moody, like. Deal with your shit and be kind to people. Yeah. I freaking hate that.
Yes.
Like, oh, you know, they're going through that. Deal with it. Sorry. Like, I don't mean to sound heartless. Like, there are ways to, like, there's no reason to be inflicting pain on other people.
No, you're right. No, I 100% agree. Yes. And I think, like, we've all been there where we've maybe, like, snapped at somebody. But I think,
of course.
You apologize. Course. You move on. Yeah. You're like, I'm dealing with something, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, you got to.
You didn't deserve that.
Yes. Yeah. You can't just be like, well, I'm having a bad day, so deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think we've got to wrap up.
But
just be kind,
beautiful.
I think, is the takeaway.
So sit down, shut up, and do
shut
it.
Shut up.
Katy Perry.
Deal with it.
Katy Perry.
Deal with your shit.
Do your job.
Do your fucking job. Wait, did I write these down right?
Abby, it was such a delight talking to you. I'm so glad that you were able to join. I was like really looking forward to this because we're real life friends. I don't know if we mentioned that.
And
it's just so nice to talk to you. And even like last night, like I was listening to your stream and I was just like laughing because you're so freaking funny, like no matter what you're doing. And it was just like amping me up for this interview. So
thank you so much. I appreciate that y'all actually did research despite of the fact that we have known each other for so long.
Yeah. I fucking would never.
I also,
talking about perfectionism,
I also watched some of your stream. There was like a part where you like lifted up a shopping list and somebody had written a bunch of stuff down, and one of them was like 7 plump wenches or something like that, and you were like, ugh, this guy sucks.
I don't remember this at all.
It's like really funny. I just picked one at random. It was very funny.
Thank you.
But Abby, we didn't, I promised you that we'd plug your social media and places where people could find you at the top of the show, and I did not do that. Let's go ahead and do that now. So where can people find you online?
So I'm on Twitch, Twitter, and Instagram. Yeah, I'm on Twitch 5 days a week as of right now. My schedule's a little bit in flux. But you can find me, you can just search Abby Russell and it'll probably come up. My username is a nightmare, but it is YBB. it is YBBAAABBY. And that's really across all social media. So I'll see you there. But I really appreciate you both having me. It's so good to hang out with you both. It's been so, too long.
So good
it's like
to see
we're
you.
At Walter's once
Thank
again.
Thank you for, yes,
I
a
know.
Bar near the Magna Theater where mm-hmm. you can go. Yeah, it's easy, folks. It's Abby backwards, the letter A, Abby forwards.
You nailed it.
That's
one Y,
not
two
a nightmare
B's.
To us.
3 A's, 2 B's, 1 Y. It's easy.
It's easy. Fucking idiot. Sit down. Shut up. Do your job.
Exactly.
Don't complain. Wipe that tear away. Be like Katy Perry. I think that's the lesson. Great. So final thoughts, be kind, right? Any final thoughts, Ellen?
Be kind, which also be kind to yourself, but also others. And like deal with your stuff so that you don't infect others with your stuff.
Look, we love you. We love you. Please take care of your shit.
Take care of your
shit.
Go
to therapy.
So that's it for this week. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Pursuit of Perfectness and The Pursuit of Perfectness on Facebook, or write us an email at pursuitofperfectness@gmail.com. Thank you to Keith Bergen for our theme music, and thank you for Dennis Pacheco, who will be making our podcast art once he sits down, shuts up, and does it. We'll be back again next time. Until then, don't be so hard on yourself.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for having me.